Welcome, friends, it's the Movie Boom Podcast. Enjoy the show. Zachie and Brian are talking about movies. Movie Boom Podcast on the radio.
Welcome to a movie film special episode. My name is Zachie Hassan, and I'm joined by Brian Hall.
Hey, what's going on? This is special, right? I mean, we weren't planning on talking this week, but then something really important happened.
Yeah, I realized the, 2 days after important. What's that, Brian?
Is it relatively important?
No, it's momentous.
Right.
It's in what we do, this is about as important as it gets.
Yeah.
Don't undervalue yourself, Brian.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah. That being said, we have a brand new trailer for Star Wars: The Last Jedi, which dropped just yesterday, and I realized that, well, if we wait for our next episode, it'll be like 2 whole weeks that have gone by before we get to talk about this.
Yeah, yeah, and I haven't even really talked to you about it.
That's why we do this.
So yeah, this is great. I want to have this discussion.
Well, so normally what we do is we play a little bit of trailer audio.
I think that could be arranged.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and play some of the audio from trailer 2 of Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special.
Something inside me has always been there. But now it's awake. I need help.
I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now.
Let the past die. Kill it. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be.
Okay, so Brian, now a little bit of the backstory here. First of all, the cat got let out of the bag as far as when this trailer was going to be dropped, like 3 weeks ago, because somebody asked Mark Hamill, Loose Lips Mark Hamill. That would be his mafia nickname.
Right.
Oh, Loose Lips. Somebody was like, hey, when's the new trailer? And he's like, well, if you're watching Monday Night Football on October 9th, that might not be a bad idea, or something like that. And he deleted that tweet post-haste.
Kind of surprising, right? It seems like he's pretty well-versed in that sort of thing, actually. He gets engaged so much, right? And he seems to kind of know how to play the game on there. But yeah, it was sort of funny that he let that one slip.
Whoops. But he was right. That's when it drop. And given that neither you nor I watch Monday Night Football, give thanks to the internet.
Yeah.
now what's funny about this is that the morning of, like, it's like Sunday night, they put out a little, you know, the dreaded trailer for the trailer thing that they do.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, if you can even call it that, right? It was like a tease of a tease.
It was like a tease of a tease. There you go. Yeah. And then the next morning, Rian Johnson, writer-director Rian Johnson, says, you know, I'd rather you didn't watch the trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, what was his exact quote there?
Oh, I think he basically said it's a great trailer, admittedly, but, you know, it's probably, you know, it was his preference for you to go in unsullied, right?
Right.
Right.
Which is understandable.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, I mean, yeah, this is his baby. I get that.
So as a film director, he's like, I'd rather your experience with my film be with my film and not with the way the Disney people have cut a trailer out of it.
Right, which you can understand, because every now and then, I know that happens when you watch a trailer and you're in a movie and you're wondering if it's winding down. You're like, oh, but I haven't seen that thing that I saw five times this week on television, right, in the trailer. So you know the movie's not over yet. Like, it is taking up real estate in your mind as you're watching the film sometimes.
Sure. Right?
Or certain reveals or whatnot or I don't know, spoiled.
Yeah, so. No, well, I mean, and you know, hearing a director say that, certainly for me, I'm like, you know, that's something I need to take under advisement.
Yep.
So now,
yeah,
I certainly for most movies, it would be something I would have no problem taking under advisement.
Yeah.
Like, don't watch the trailer. Okay, I can do without.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is not most movies.
No. I forgot we had a little bit of a conversation on Facebook that day. Where we were saying, like, for a split second, it crossed my mind, maybe I won't watch it. And
right.
There's no way that was going to happen.
But you know what's funny, Brian, is that you and I were not the only ones engaging in that. This was a conversation across the nerdosphere. I mean, this exact, and I think my sense is the overwhelming majority of people are like, you know what? I respect you, Brian Johnson. But no.
Yeah.
And I think, Brian, you put it most eloquently. Just find a vein and plug in.
Yeah, just stick it in my veins.
So you did not seriously contemplate not watching the second trailer?
I actually did seriously consider it for like 30 seconds.
Okay, so then you didn't seriously.
I actually thought, I have friends that do this. They don't engage with the trailers, and they go, like with Blade Runner recently, I had a friend that didn't watch anything and went in completely, it was all new to her. Mm-hmm. And I liked that idea. And if there's any movie to do that with, to have the wherewithal to actually pull that off, it would be this one.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, it's what, October, early October. This isn't coming out till about Christmas time. Come on.
You know, I think for me, part of the experience of watching a Star Wars movie is the anticipation that comes with the trailers. Like, that's part of the whole thing for me.
Yeah, it's fun. Going, and it's a moment, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a specific moment in time, just like watching the Phantom Menace trailer, the teaser.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the fun of it is you go and you treat it like the Zapruder film.
Yes.
And you're like, what's that? What's going on here? And all the microscopic, minuscule examinations that you do.
Yeah, and also just continuing on what we were talking about not spoiling it, with The Force Awakens, I don't feel like any of those trailers ruined anything for me with that experience.
Right.
So that was why I was thinking, you know, and I mean, sure, I'm gonna see some new things, but I can't imagine it's gonna spoil the experience. So
yeah, and I mean, with that in mind, I mean, let's talk about this trailer. I mean, what are your general thoughts on it?
Well, I, you know, it's funny because it feels different than most trailers, right? It doesn't feel like it needs to catch you up on anything or explain anything. It just drops right in. It assumes you know everything, and it just drops you in. And kind of, for being the second trailer, I mean, it was very teasery. There's a lot of just images that are unexplained, some, you know, the walkers and some just kind of cool overhead shots of troopers walking and whatnot. And I mean, you see certain conflicts that are being set up, but for the most part, I don't feel like it really showed us any actual scenes. It just sort of, you know, whet your appetite even further with just some new, I think, kind of obscure moments. Right?
So obscure, that's interesting. When you say obscure in the sense that, like, you don't know the context?
Yeah, I mean, just, well, I don't know. When I say obscure, I mean, I think of Kylo Ren against that bright red background. I mean, don't really know what's going on there. Him punching the wall with his helmet. There's no context for any of those things. I just know it's cool seeing new footage of these characters.
These characters we know doing something we've never seen before.
Exactly. I mean, I guess the most coherent through line through the thing is the relationship between Luke and Rey.
Yeah.
Where Luke seems to be continually surprised by her ability.
Luke is, you know, again, we're just sort of trying to piece together what we're seeing in what we can of the story based on what we're seeing here. And I think, you know, there's some stuff that they're obviously trying to get you to think things are going in a certain direction, and one assumes that it's a fake out, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and we can talk about that in just a second. But, like, the stuff with Luke I found so interesting because, well, number just hearing him speak, I guess, for one thing, that's kind of, like, we're seeing his mouth move and dialogue is coming out. That's brand new.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that at all since 1983, you know?
Yeah. It's funny, that didn't even occur to me. until it was pointed out on some website later, but
because even in the last trailer, right, it's just his voiceover.
Yeah, but he looks good. Sounds good. I saw some website. I forget how they put it, but basically, you know, they're worried about him overacting a little bit or whatnot. As he can be sort of an expressive actor, but he looks great. He looks solid.
It's crazy to me that this is the first Luke Skywalker dialogue that we're seeing, like, basically since we were kids. That's just crazy to me, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously there is the sadness of, like, you know, we don't get Han Solo anymore. But hey, I know. We got Luke, you know?
Yeah.
But what he says, I wasn't afraid of this kind of power the way I should have been when I saw it before.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a little tease of what I assume is a flashback showing, you know, the fall of Luke's Jedi Order.
Right, which was teased in Force Awakens.
Yeah, so presumably we get a more fleshed out flashback of that. And I think that's probably one of my favorite moments in the whole trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, there's this wreckage, and then you see Luke's hand coming out of the wreckage.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What were some of the other things that jumped out at you?
Snoke.
Yeah, we see him for real.
Yes, not as a hologram. I remember nearly everyone when he was introduced in Force Awakens being like, holy crap, is he what, like 40 feet tall?
Yeah, so we know he is not.
Yeah, and he looked CGI-ish.
In The Force Awakens.
In Force Awakens, but in this trailer, man, I'm looking at a still frame of it right now. He looks really good.
Yeah. And he is played by Andy Serkis, right. One assumes, right. In live action.
Amazing. Yeah, I thought the moment, there's several moments that stood out. Striking visual stuff, but story-wise, yes. Rey paralyzed, you know,
yeah.
Seemingly frozen, that sort of creepy. And it looks like Snoke's responsible. Sort of wonder what's up with that.
Yeah.
Sort of like a Palpatine Luke sort of thing happening in the second instead of the third film.
Right.
there's a lot of what feels like misdirection.
Right, I was gonna bring, like, I mean, the moment between Princess General Leia and Kylo Ren, we assume trying to kill her.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact quote, but basically, you know,
I have to kill the past. I think is something.
Yeah, getting rid of all past attachments or whatnot, and him zeroing in on a target, and they keep intercutting it with Leia looking.
Concerned,
right, and him looking distraught.
Yes,
great acting, by the way, and just those seconds with his face. I'm like, oh man, like,
absolutely,
the drama looks great. But who knows if that's really the moment that's playing.
I mean, that feels like one of those things that you would not put in the trailer.
I mean, if that's what that actually is, then no way.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's why I feel fairly safe, certain saying that's a misdirect, as well as at the very end of the trailer, yes. Where. Rey turns to Kylo Ren for help.
Well, she says, I need someone to show me my place in all this.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can see the glow of a fire on her face, and then it cuts to Kylo Ren with embers and a fire light on his face as well, reaching out his hand.
Yeah.
But I saw someone point out somewhere else that there was some sort of previously released image of her sitting by the Falcon with a fire. Presumably talking to Luke, which would make more sense.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's like a vision, like the way Luke has that vision on Dagobah.
Oh, that could be.
You know?
Yeah. And then when he reaches out his hand and City goes, psych! And then he pretends to, like, brush the side of his hair. And then also the Finn Phasma thing.
I was going to bring that up, yeah.
Yeah, that looked pretty cool, actually. I think it's interesting. And this is one of the unfortunate effects of having these movies. Like, Force Awakens is supposed to be this reintroduction. Like, I mean, we obviously have characters from the past, but we're like, we're doing, this is the thing we're doing now. This is the new thing. And it includes some of the people from the past, but this is the new thing. And so with Luke and Leia and Han, you organically fell in love with those people. And then you went on these journeys. But I think with The Force Awakens, it was like, here are the four people you're going to fall in love with, you know, about a year before we actually even know who they were. But we knew their names. We knew their names a year before that movie even came out.
Yes.
And I remember, even up until yesterday, thinking, I don't get the Poe, Finn, Rey dynamic. Like, it doesn't feel like Luke, Han, and Leia to me.
Yes.
And then I was listening to the commentary of The Force Awakens with J.J. Abrams explaining that Poe was originally going to die Force Awakens, but they decided to keep him. And I was thinking, that makes complete sense, because he doesn't really fit into the story.
He feels shoehorned in the second half.
Yes. And so, but then, but
Brian,
fine, but
to be fair, Brian.
Yeah.
He is one hell of a pilot.
That is one hell of a pilot. Is that my buddy? Oh, what a coincidence. But then it just sort of occurred to me, I was like, well, it doesn't have to be, you know, like, they don't have to fit into these molds. And I think
that's right.
Where I'm going with this is, with Phasma, she was so hyped up for the first one because we know Gwendolyn Christie plays her.
She's kind of the Boba Fett of The Force Awakens.
Yeah, but they made her feel like she was going to be this key villain, and she really isn't.
That's right.
And then she just gets disposed of off screen in a trash compactor. And so having her back here in the second one, I imagine they want us to be like, oh, here's the Finn Phasma thing we all been waiting for. But I don't know if the first film really set that up in a way that I felt that. I hope this movie gets me there. That said, I thought the visual of it looked awesome when he uses that whatever, buzz sword or whatever he's using.
Yeah,
are blasting behind him.
That image is comparable to the shot that they used in the trailer for the second trailer for Force Awakens, where when Finn draws Luke's lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's what it reminded me of. To your point about Phasma and Finn, I like the idea of, if there is this rivalry between them, I like the idea that it's this smaller rivalry playing out against the broader canvas of the First Order versus the Resistance.
Oh yeah. And I think the movie can get it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm hoping for. Especially because, yeah, I mean, he is a reformed stormtrooper. Like, I would love for that to continue to be a part. I don't feel like that was one of my criticisms of the first one. I felt like that could have played even more into the things that he felt and experienced and went through in The Force Awakens. Sort of a PTSD thing, but he seemed to get over it pretty quick. And
that's,
I would
right.
love to see that dealt with in this one.
Yeah.
A little bit more. I mean, him having, it looks like he infiltrates, you know.
It looks like it, right?
First Order. So, yeah, that I would love to see that whole conflict.
What do you think of what we see of Poe? You mentioned how Poe felt like kind of a non-character. Feels like we're digging a little bit more into him in this one.
Yeah, I'm into it. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, to Oscar Isaac's credit, I mean, in spite of me saying those things, I'm like, oh, I love that guy.
It's like 75% just Oscar Isaac being so damn likable.
Oh, yeah. And then the other 25% is because he's a hell of a pilot.
That's just, I told you about the time I turned down an interview with him. Did I tell you about that?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That remains my eternal regret. Where this was right after Inside Llewyn Davis. It was for Inside Llewyn Davis. That's what they were talking. They were promoting, and it was going to be John Goodman and Oscar Isaac. So John Goodman, I knew. Oscar Isaac, I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, well, John Goodman's not going to be there, but how about Oscar Isaac? And I say, who's Oscar Isaac? Right, and they're like, oh, no, it'll be great. I'm like, okay, fine. And then they're like, oh, it's gonna be like at this time, there's gonna be this many people. And I'm like, I don't know who this Oscar Isaac guy is.
Right.
Probably nothing. He won't amount to a thing, I tell you. Not a thing, as I pointed to the heavens. And then, like,
Not a thing!
As God is my witness! And so 1 week later, he signs on to be Apocalypse and X-Men, you know? And I'm like, huh. And then like 3 days later, he's the new lead in Star Wars Episode 7. I'm like, huh. And that's the story of how I didn't interview Oscar Isaac.
And then all the other critics who were there that you see at other events, they're like, oh, did you get that Christmas card from Oscar Isaac this year? It's so nice.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah.
But going back to the film, did you get the sense that it looks a little grittier? Like, there was something that it felt very tactile, but also the kind of shots that we were seeing. I glommed onto how... It's hard to explain. It feels a little grimier to me.
Yeah, I like how it looks like it has its own look.
Yes.
The original trilogy was marathoning this weekend on TNT, and I was just dead tired on Sunday, and I was kind of like half asleep on the couch for a while, and I fell asleep during Star Wars, woke up during Empire, kind of started moving around during Return of the Jedi, and I was struck by how different they looked. I mean, I already know this, but just looking at it the way that I did, popping in and out of them, and I love that this one looks like it has its own visual identity. Also, there's a lot of red going on.
Yeah, the shots of like the red dust in the desert,
mm-hmm.
or the smoke.
Yeah, the and red Snoke's smoke. Guards and
the shot that jumped out at me is when you see the ground crack from Rey's power.
Mm-hmm.
I just there's something about it that it's a very beautiful shot.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Yeah. So I'm very excited with just based on this with what Rian Johnson has in store, and knowing that he wrote it as well has me very intrigued. I mean, you and I are both such huge fans of Looper that you know, seeing what that guy could do in the Star Wars universe is enough to get you pretty excited.
Yeah, I really do hope this feels like a new independent journey. Obviously linked, but I hope this feels like a worthy independent outing for this saga. Like, yeah, we give Force Awakens a little bit of a hard time for how it echoes a little too heavily perhaps to A New Hope, but I'm ready for this one to just shoot off in completely different directions, even down to, like I say, where it doesn't have necessarily the Han, Luke, Leia template, you know, they're their own template now. And
now that being said, the task ahead of this one is not inconsiderable. It's going to be measured up against arguably the greatest Star Wars film ever made,
whether it wants to or not.
Whether it wants to or not, it is the second part of a trilogy. That means it's going to be compared to The Empire Strikes Back. So that's not an enviable position to be in necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know what we should mention too is that shot with the Porg
creature. Yes.
I obviously, visiting the websites that I do and being interested, as invested in Star Wars as I am, I already know what that thing is, and I've seen that they're pushing them pretty hard. It was funny though getting my brother's perspective, because his perspective is so great. It really grounds everything, because he loves Star Wars, you know, as much as us, but he doesn't follow it like we do. He just loves it like he does and watches on TV and whatnot. Doesn't follow the news.
Right.
And as soon as it was over, we got on the phone with each other and we're talking about it. And he said, so when it showed Chewbacca and then it showed that Porg, I was like, oh, that's cute. Like, I've been seeing this thing set up. That's a cute little introduction to him. You get to hear him. It was a funny moment. And my brother said when he saw that thing, it felt like a moment that someone made up on the internet. Like, he said it felt like the Chewie moment was from the real movie, and then someone from the internet thought they'd do something cute and throw this weird creature in there mimicking him.
You cut to it, right.
I thought that was a really funny, like, oh, yeah, for someone who hadn't seen one of those things before, it felt
really funny.
Really stood out.
You know, I'm predicting lots of Porg plush dolls will be sold Christmas.
It was adorable, so.
And for anybody who's complaining that Disney is ruining the franchise because of Porgs, I give you Ewoks as Exhibit A and Jar Jar as Exhibit B, and Shut the Hell Up as Exhibit C. So I think this is our last look at The Last Jedi until the movie comes out, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, and I was very happy. I don't think I said if I liked it or not at the beginning, but I really liked it. I watched it several times, and it was enough to get, like, I'm like, all right, I'm ready. Let's do it.
The trailer dropped, I think, yesterday at 7 o'clock, and I was in a screening, like, at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So I didn't turn my phone off. My phone was in my breast pocket. And so, like, the movie starts, and every few seconds, my breast pocket is just going, like, literally for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then I get out, and I see that my notification, I have 76 text messages.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is what happens when I go into, I'm away from my phone right after a Star Wars trailer drops. It was just all the conversation and everything else. And I was in San Francisco, and I had an hour drive back, and I was like, I don't want to watch this, like, on my phone, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so I get home, and my kids were, like, going to bed, and I woke them up. I was like, hey, guys, like, they weren't asleep, but they were, like, getting, I was like, hey, guys, let's watch the Star Wars trailer before you go to bed. And so all the boys are gathered, you know, and I'm like, this is so great.
They're going to remember that, I guarantee you. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's watch the new Star Wars trailer before, you know, and they're like, oh, what's that? And what's Kylo Ren? Oh, Kylo Ren's not wearing a helmet anymore. Like, all the, you know, and I'm like, this is the joy of this franchise for me, is the fact that it's spanned my childhood and now it's spanning theirs. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, so I'm excited. I'm glad we got to have this conversation.
Yeah, same. And actually, before we sign off, I just have to ask, with the poster.
Yes. I mean,
you've seen that going around where people are superimposing Darth Vader's helmet over it.
Yes.
With the configuration of the characters and the shadows and the whatnot. Yes. What do you make of that? Is it a stretch or is it there?
I have to imagine that it was not intentional.
I couldn't decide, honestly. Because as soon as it went up, one of my Bob's Burgers friends actually immediately put it up on his Facebook wall, and no one else, I didn't see it anywhere else, and he was like, I think I'm the first one on the planet to find this. I was like, you might be, man, I don't know.
Remember this, if they were to say that was the intention, I'd be like, wow, okay. But it, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Actually, you know what? I'm talking to you, I suppose anything's possible, you know?
It took a really long time, but then I noticed other people starting to do the same thing.
Okay.
And I even saw that Mark Hamill on Instagram posted one of them.
Oh, well, if Loose Lips said.
yeah. But, what I love about it is if it was on purpose, it is insanely subtle.
That's right.
So there's something, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of cool.
There's something there. Well, if you don't know what we're talking about vis-a-vis the Darth Vader helmet, I'm sure you can find examples of that on Twitter or whatnot. Or Brian, maybe we can post that on the Facebook page.
Sure.
You know. But that's a good place to leave this discussion. We'll be back in our regularly scheduled slot with our regularly scheduled episode. But until then, please do hit like on our Facebook page and let us know what you thought of the Star Wars trailer.
Yeah.
And we'll read your comments on our next episode.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back in just a little bit.
Welcome, friends. It's the Movie Boom Podcast. Podcast. Enjoy the show. Zachy and